Welcome everybody to another edition of Three Up, Three Down, your weekly baseball podcast covering everything across Major League Baseball. My name is Brian Mapes, your host, once again joined by my baseball roundtable associates for this week. We'll start it off with Kurt Peter, representing the National League Central.
And Tim Kirchin.
Over to Brian Boynton, representing the American League West.
Yeah, my Kirchin impression is awful, so I'm not even going to try.
And last and least, as always, Jeremy Dorn, representing the National League West.
And the proud fan of a two-game winning streak of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Thank you very much.
There you go. About time somebody in Los Angeles started winning. Angels included. Gonna start it off with this week. The big news throughout Major League Baseball, the really crazy umpiring problem that has seemed to manifest itself in everything this week. First off, Adam Rosales' home run against the Indians that would have been a game-tying home run for the Athletics is denied, even with instant replay, as it was seen over the railing in left center field. Then a couple nights later, the Astros and the Angels, a pitching change, they bring in, the Astros bring in somebody, does not throw to a batter, is removed from the game. The umpires allow it. Mike Scioscia, the Angels manager, argues. They allow the pitcher to stay in. The game goes into protest, and that protest would have actually been upheld. There has not been a protest upheld since 1986, but the Angels came back to win that game, so the protest was dropped. And last yesterday, Giants and Braves, a fan reaches out as Justin Upton's trying to catch a ball in left field. The fan interferes. Marco Scudero is awarded a double instead of being called out. Guys, we've seen three bad calls this week. Only one actually got reprimanded. Fielding Colbreth, the crew chief in that Astros-Angels game, was suspended two games and fined for not applying the rules of Major League Baseball in that situation. What does baseball need to do accountability-wise for the umpires? They're not giving – Angel Hernandez had that terrible call and refused to give an on-air interview about it, saying he would only be interviewed without cameras and not recorded audio-wise. What does Major League Baseball need to do to, A, get the accountability of the umpires correct, and, B, improve instant replay – to make sure that even with the replay, the plays are being called correctly? We'll start it off with Jeremy.
Well, as far as the instant replay thing, I'm not even sure if that's I don't think that's a problem with Major League Baseball. And, I hate to single a guy out, but that to me is an Angel Hernandez problem because he's been one of the most mediocre umpires for years. I mean, he's always getting complaints against him. And, you know, he seems to kind of make a show of things and kind of make the game about himself, which is one of those things you just don't do as an ump. I'm not sure they can do much more. I mean, you saw those replays. It was very, very clear that the ball went over the fence, and that's just a terrible, you know, blatantly missed call by Hernandez. But I do like that they suspended Colbreth a couple games. You know, that's kind of the thing that they have to start doing is make these umpires aware that, you know, you mess up at your job, you completely screw up something that could change the course of a season, you're going to get reprimanded. And, you know, for what Colbreth messed up, I thought two games was fair. For Hernandez, I would have gone like four or five even, just because it was such a huge play and such an obvious call. But I think there's got to be some kind of standard set in place for reprimanding umpires for sure.
Yeah, Colbreth is a good umpire. He was one of the World Series umpires last season, newly anointed crew chief this season, just made a mistake. It was kind of embarrassing that an entire crew didn't know this rule or enforce it. Brian, going to go over to you. What were your thoughts on the accountability issues of the umpires and what do they need to do with instant replay. In the actually showed the replay booth inside Indian Stadium. It's a 19-inch TV screen that you can't get in HD. Should MLB upgrade the replay facilities?
I think they should. I mean, I think, honestly, I know it's a baseball podcast, but I think the NFL has replay right. They have a guy at the stadium who his whole job is to watch the replay and see if it should be reviewed in the first place. Now, I think MLB needs to institute something like that where there is an official at the stadium who his whole job is to watch a TV monitor. Now, yeah, in Cleveland, they do need to upgrade their TVs. I mean, I have a better TV than that in my room. And this is MLB. They can buy a better TV. But, yeah, I think they should have a replay official who's part of the staff, who that's his entire job, is he just sits there and watches the game on a TV monitor and sees it, and that's all he does. He just calls down to the crew chief and they get the call right then. Because everybody that watched the game saw that that was clearly a home run, saw it was clearly a fan interference. Now, to the Colbert thing, I understand that you're not going to know every rule off the top of your head. But, again, have that extra umpire, extra official, he's got a rule book in hand, and anytime something like that comes up, he flips through the pages real quick and looks at it and sees if it's right or not. That would solve a lot of these problems right off the bat, just – hire another one.
KP, over to you. Your thoughts on accountability of umpires getting calls wrong in big situations and what Major League Baseball should do with a replay system.
Yeah, I think when we talked about this, I don't know, a while ago, I definitely agree that they should have a fifth umpire. And I was going to say, if they can't afford anything better than a 19-inch TV and not in HD, I think they're doing something wrong with these multi-million-dollar companies and baseball teams. But I definitely think that if you do screw up and it was blatant, that you probably should be suspended or docked some pay, or I'm not sure how umpire pay works. I'm sure they're contracted, but if you dock them down a pay grade, or if you just fine them maybe. I don't know if fines really make you a better umpire. Maybe you, after so many, or if you screw up once, you gotta go to a umpire review session, like a ticket, speeding ticket. You know, if you go too fast, you gotta go to like a 2-hour class, and it's no fun for anyone.
All right, breaking news into the 3U3D. Curtis Granderson just tweeted. He finished 5 games with the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders, and now he is in the car on the way back to New York, hashtag road to recovery. So expect Curtis Granderson to return for the Yankees on Tuesday, as they will be taking on not a fun little first game back for Curtis Granderson, as he'll get to face Felix Hernandez Tuesday, if that indeed is the game he returns from his wrist surgery. That was a little 3U3D breaking news, even though it won't really be live breaking news when you listen to this. Going to go over to a big contract extension signed. Anthony Rizzo of the Cubs gets 7 years, $41 million from his home team in Chicago there. KP, in the NL Central, we all know the Cubs haven't won a World Series in over 100 years. Can Anthony Rizzo be that cornerstone player to lead the Cubs to a title? Is he that? Do you think he is that caliber of a player in the future?
I certainly don't think he's not that caliber, because I mean, I've been an Anthony Rizzo fan ever since he came up. He was on my fantasy team last year and kind of blew everyone else away late in the season. And played well for a struggling Cubs team that has always been struggling. But to bring the Cubs to a World Series, now that's a whole different question. I mean, he's going to need a lot more help than just Anthony Rizzo playing first base for him. But, I mean, it's definitely a good start to see the Cubs that not only, one, can have the money to offer to Anthony Rizzo, but the fact that he actually wants to stay there. I mean, that's a good on him, because I don't know if I'd want to stick in the Chicago Cubs. uniform for very much longer.
Jeremy, going to go over to you. 7 years, $41 million. Do you like the long-term extension here of Rizzo?
Yeah, definitely, and especially at that price. I mean, you know, he's so young, he hasn't really proven anything yet. He's proven that he could be very good in the future and that he, you know, he's got a lot of power, he can hit for contact, but, you know, he's one of those guys that if you're going to sign him for 7 years and you're going to get him for that cheap, it seems like a, you know, completely fine deal. A lot of teams can eat, you know, $6 million a year or so if he doesn't pan out and, you know, find a trading partner or whatever they have to do. But, yeah, I think he's going to be a good hitter. I think he already is a pretty good one. And I think that he can be the guy to lead them to that point. I don't know how long it's going to take. I mean, if Ernie Banks couldn't do it, why should I believe Anthony Rizzo could, right? No, but, I mean, they're going in the right direction, and this is a good guy to have around to kind of anchor the lineup. I think the real question, though, Mapes, is, you know, which team that Rizzo leads wins first? Is it the Cubs winning the World Series or Team Italy winning the World Baseball Classic?
I think I would lean the Cubs. I don't think Italy will ever win the World Baseball Classic.
And I don't think the Cubs will ever win the World Series.
Hater.
And see there, KP's hating on the Cubs. Rizzo this year hitting .280, .352 on base percentage with 9 home runs in the middle of that Cubs lineup. Brian, over to you. Did you like the signing of Rizzo long term for Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, they're just following the trend that the Rays set a couple years ago when they signed all their young players to huge contracts, or, well, I guess team-friendly big contracts for them. It's awesome for the team. It's awesome for the player. I mean, he knows he's getting paid for 7 years regardless of what he does. And if he pans out and is great for those 7 years, well, then the Cubs get a steal because they're paying him, like Jeremy said, $6 million a year. So if it works out, it works out for both of them. And I do like how teams are signing their younger players now. So, like, when players are hitting free agency, you're not going to see the $350 million A-Rod contracts and contracts like that for the most part.
Jeremy, last piece. 7 years now for Anthony Rizzo. We have our annual Jeremy vs. Mapes MLB jersey draft. He'll be sticking around now through I believe 2018 through 2018. He'll be a free agent in 2019. Would he crack your top 20 now in jerseys that are safe and good to buy? This spring training, your last pick, you took Will Myers of the Tampa Bay Rays. Would you rather have a Myers jersey or a Rizzo jersey?
That's a tough one. I'm a big believer in already having proven yourself, even if it's just a little bit. So, I mean, you know, for as much potential as Myers has, you already know what Rizzo can do. I think he would be a candidate to crack that top 10. We'll see. I mean, I'll have a better idea at the end of the year if he keeps hitting this way. I'd say definitely. But then again, we could see Myers get called up and just absolutely go crazy. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll have to see in round whatever we're on, 10, 12, 15, whatever draft we're on.
If you're a Cubs fan, my number 14 pick in the jersey draft this year was Starlin Castro. I'd still take the extra year of jersey from Starlin and stick around with him. I think he's sticking. Then again, he's more likely trade candidate. So we'll see what happens in the third annual jersey draft next spring. But Anthony Rizzo, definitely an option long term if you're looking for a jersey to buy. Next bit of news, going over to injuries, and we referred to Curtis Granderson coming back for the Yankees. Eduardo Nunez will go on the 15-day disabled list with a sore left rib cage. Until Curtis Granderson actually comes back, the New York Yankees are only 2 outfielders short of having an entire team on the disabled list. It's quite impressive. Colorado Rockies place Michael Kadire on the 15-day DL with an inflamed cervical disc. Jeremy, Rockies news, they call up Charlie Blackmon. They have Eric Young Jr. Which player would you rather see get the playing time in Colorado?
Probably EY. I mean, I don't know. You know what he can do. I don't know much about the new guy. So I mean, stick with what you know. And he's been pretty good atop the lineup. So with so much power in the middle of the lineup, all you really need is a table setter like him and Dexter Fowler, guys that'll get on base. I mean, you're going to score runs. I mean, honestly, let's be real. The Rockies are going to score runs no matter who's in their lineup. But, you know, I'm more comfortable with the guy that's been playing in, at the pro level for quite a while.
Yeah, both big speed guys. This is Eric Young's chance to try and show something. Hit 316 last year. He's hitting 278 this year. Leads the majors in triples. We'll see if he can get the job done atop the Rockies lineup with Dexter Fowler. Jake Westbrook also goes to the 15-day disabled list with right elbow inflammation. KP, Westbrook has been great for the Cardinals so far this year. Hasn't allowed a home run the entire season. With Shelby Miller and Lance Lynn maturing, how big of a blow is this to the Cardinals' rotation?
It's a big blow currently, but I think with their young pitchers, they can make up for it. I mean, the Cardinals also score a ton of runs, so I don't think they are going to suffer a lot. I mean, they're a good team all around, and yeah, it sucks to lose them now, and hopefully they don't lose them for the season with Tommy John or whatnot. But if he comes back, I mean, they're going to be even better than ever.
Last bit of injury news before we get to this week in Tommy John. The Diamondbacks closer, J.J. Putz, goes to the DL with an elbow strain. Doesn't look like it's anything major. Heath Bell, David Hernandez to close. Heath Bell has gotten a couple more save opportunities. Hernandez actually closed out a game after Bell had pitched three straight days. Jeremy, which closer would you prefer to have on your fantasy team to try and pick up some cheap saves here, Heath Bell or David Hernandez?
That's tough. I guess Bell has the job for now, so if you want to pick up some quick, cheap ones, then you got to take the risk and go with him. And even Hernandez, you know, he was great setting up for Putz last year, and this year he's been, you know, a little bit, you know, he came down to earth a little bit so far, blown a few games for the D-backs. But, you know, if you're talking the long run while Putz is out, I think that it will be Hernandez's job sooner rather than later, just because we know Bell's recent track record. I think he's the guy to pick up and kind of keep an eye on. But then again, you know, if you need to close out a week with two or three saves and the D-backs have good matchups or something, need a couple quick saves from someone, then, yeah, you take a look at Bell. But I don't think that's going to last too long, so don't put all your faith in him.
Go over to Brian. A little twist on this. Andrew Bailey on the DL, Joel Hanrahan out. Would you rather have Heath Bell or Junichi Tozawa, the current Red Sox closer, if you're scrounging for saves in a fantasy league, Brian?
Ooh, that's tough, because you got Tozawa, he's not very experienced in the MLB, whereas you got Heath Bell, who is. But I think the Red Sox are going to be put in a situation more for more saves than the Diamondbacks will. So give me Tozawa only because he's going to get more opportunities to get a save.
All right, sounds good. We'll see how everything plays out in the closer situation, as it's always a fluid situation throughout MLB on who will get saves. Going to move to this week in Tommy John, and it's a big week. Chicago White Sox pitcher Gavin Floyd will undergo the knife and be out for the rest of the season. Braves pitcher Johnny Venters out of the bullpen ace. Remember in the preseason he underwent the plasma-rich platelet injection. He had a setback this week. He is due to visit Dr. James Andrews again. A lot of fans and media members a little worried that he might need the second Tommy John surgery of his career. And Red Sox closer Joel Hanrahan, who they picked up in an off-season trade, will undergo forearm surgery. He is out for the season, but they have also not ruled out that he may need Tommy John surgery as well. So a big week in this week in Tommy John. I'm going to go over to just a random question. Crazy baseball from this week. Alex Cobb, 4 2/3 innings pitched, had 13 strikeouts, I believe. Wait, let me double check that. I'm sorry. It might be 14 strikeouts. I probably should have had this completely written out.
It's 13 out of 14, I'm pretty sure.
It was 13 out of 14. Let's see. Game log.
13 out of 14.
Okay. 13 out of 14. Still insane. Yeah, okay. I carried the one wrong in my head. He struck out 13 out of 14 batters. But in one inning, he faced four batters, four strikeouts, no walks, no hits, but gave up an earned run. As crazy as that sounds, Will Venable reached base on a strikeout, on a wild pitch, stole second, stole third, and then scored on a balk. So somehow, Alex Cobb struck out all four batters he faced and gave up an earned run without letting a ball enter the field of play. Or, what is crazier, that? Or what the Cardinals did to the Colorado Rockies this past weekend. 49 outs without the Rockies recording a hit. A Shelby Miller Friday night gave up a leadoff single and then retired the next 27 batters. Adam Wainwright starts the next game and goes 7 1/3 no hit with just one walk. So I ask you guys, what was crazier? Alex Cobb's four strikeout inning? Or the Cardinals recording 49 outs without giving up a hit to the Colorado Rockies? We'll start it off with Brian.
Okay, you take everything else outside of Alex Cobb's four strikeout inning, just looking at it as a four strikeout inning. I've seen that before. I mean, we all have. We've seen it a couple times. But I've never seen a team go 49 outs without recording a hit. So I'm going to have to give it to the Cardinals pitching staff for that one. I mean, that was just insanely impressive.
KP, over to you. What was crazier to you, Alex Cobb's four strikeout inning while giving up an earned run, or the 49 straight outs the Cardinals recorded without giving up a hit?
Yeah, I also got to go with the Cardinals, because that streak especially against the Rockies, that's an awesome streak. And the only other weird thing about Cobb's thing is that he pretty much hit just about every stat you can for a pitcher: a balk, a hit by pitch, a wild pitch, a K, a walk, earned runs, hits. I mean, I don't know what else he could put on the stat board to complete every pitcher stat there is.
Jeremy, over to you. What is the stranger's crazier baseball to you? The Cardinals streak or Alex Cobb's four strikeout inning?
Like these guys have been saying, you know, that was a crazy thing with Cobb, and even crazier that it was a game like that where he struck out so many guys, didn't even get in line for a win, then the whole way the run scored, and he threw 117 pitches or whatever in that short time span. I don't know, that whole game for him was nuts, but, you know, like KP and Brian said, you go 49 straight batters against a really good offense without allowing a hit, that is absolutely crazy. And I mean, Shelby Miller, you know, rookie, and he's facing a great offense, gets the first guy on, and then essentially throws a perfect game. That's just nuts to me. I think they came one at-bat short of tying the record all time, but I honestly don't know if we'll ever see 49 straight batters not get a hit again, ever.
I'm really shocked. I thought you guys were going to go with Alex Cobb. I think Alex Cobb's the crazier thing. The guy didn't give up a hit or a walk, but gave up a run. Like, I don't think you're ever going to see that again. That's pretty insane. Plus striking out all four batters. I'm going to go with Alex Cobb, but both are absolutely insane. I was watching the Cardinals game. I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. How are the Rockies not doing this?
And Mapes.
I know. It's the glasses. Speaking of getting hits on the Rockies against the Cardinals, we're going to move over to 3-up, 3-down fantasy, and we're going to mix up the format now. 3-up is now players that are owned in 50% or less or leagues that we think you should look at to own on your team. 3-down will be players that are owned in 60% or more of fantasy teams that you could probably drop at this point. So we're going to start it off with the guy who actually broke the streak of 49 straight outs, 48% owned. Jeremy, who is your 3-up player for this week?
That is Rockies third baseman Nolan Arenado. He did break up the no-hitter in Wainwright's start, got a line drive to center. That was very disappointing for any non-Rockies fan watching, I'm sure. Just like me, I was not happy with him. I always like to see a no-hitter going that late. But anyway, I mean, he's, you know, he just got called up about, you know, 12 or 13 games ago. He hasn't been around that long yet, but he's been a highly touted prospect for a while. The numbers aren't quite there yet. He's hitting 255, three homers, eight RBIs. But he does play in Coors Field. He's hitting in that lineup that we've been praising endlessly as they deserve. So he's going to get a lot of RBI opportunities, a lot of opportunities to score runs, and he's playing with a lot of guys who know how to hit really well. So I think that this is just the beginning for Arenado. I think he's a guy you pick up, keep on your bench, and keep an eye on before someone else snags him for the same reason, because I think towards the end of the season you're going to see a very legitimate Rookie of the Year candidate. I don't think he'll win it, but he'll be in the mix for sure.
All right, going to move to my three-up player for this week. He is owned now. He's actually been owned. He was probably 0% owned coming into the year, but now 36% owned. And that is Kevin Slowey, the starting pitcher for the Miami Marlins. He has been lighting it up since getting to Miami. He is 1-3, but with a 2.55 ERA and a 1.13 whip in 49 innings pitches in that great ballpark now in Miami. That's a pitcher's park. I know you probably can't own him over a lot of other pitchers, but you got to give him a chance, especially if he's pitching in Miami. He won't get you wins, but if he can help your peripherals, ERA, whip, get you a few strikeouts, 36 strikeouts in 49 innings, you got to like him as a matchup play. You should probably be owned in more than 36% of leagues at this point. The final three-up player this week, returning to greatness once again. I'm pretty sure this guy has been featured on three-up, three-down fantasy on the up and down side more than any other player in the short span of this podcast. KP, who are we going back to that's 19% owned in fantasy leagues?
I mean, he kind of lends his play towards being going up and down, so it's no surprise, but we're talking about Francisco Liriano for the Pirates. He just pitched on the 11th and actually beat the Mets 1-0, only allowing one earned run. So, I mean, if you're looking for something, I know the Pirates aren't super great. They're doing fine, I guess, now. But if you're looking for a little spot starter, you need a guy to maybe get you another win in the week, Liriano certainly wouldn't be a bad option and most likely available in all your leagues because he's only 19% owned.
When he's on, he's on. But when things fall apart, they get nasty. So be cautioned with Francisco Liriano, but now it looks like he is on for now. So give him a chance, especially in good matchups. Going to move to three down players that are owned in 60% more of fantasy leagues. And we're going to start it off with a player who has been disappointing for my team, the Atlanta Braves. But we're going to let Brian talk about him so I don't have to badmouth one of the players on my team. Angelo, who is the player owned in 87% of leagues that fantasy owners can think about dropping?
Well, I'm not Angelo, I'm Brian, but...
why did I say Angelo? Did I say Angelo? Oh, you know what it is? The little Skype thing just has Angelo's name first, even though he's not on the call.
So I'm looking
at it, and it says Angelo. But all Brian, right, who is the player?
It is none other than their huge free agent acquisition in B.J. Upton, who we all knew was going to strike out a lot. But when I saw this, I had to actually ask you, Mapes, whether this was true or not. 47 strikeouts in 126 at-bats, he's got almost three times as many strikeouts as he has hits. That is just awful. I mean, he's hitting 151 with three home runs on six RBI. When they signed him, they knew they would get a Gold Glove caliber outfielder. They knew they would get some power, but they also knew they would get strikeouts. But nobody expected this. He's not hitting home runs at a very consistent rate. And he's striking out way more than anybody thought he would. So, yeah, you should probably drop him or at least sit him on your bench and see if he can turn it around.
Yeah, I... B.J. Upton, thank God signing BJ Upton brought Justin Upton, or I would not be ready to have lots of happiness right now. And we're going to go to 3U3D breaking news again. I'm cutting into 3U3D fantasy right now, but I'm watching MLB tonight, and Jeremy, I don't know if you have the Dodgers game on, but Bryce Harper just ran into a wall.
I just tweeted about that, actually.
He looks like that hurt a lot.
I'm unfortunately not able to watch the games right now just because my internet's so crappy that it would interfere with the podcast, but I'm following along, and Twitter exploded about Harper crashing, and I was really happy about off triple until I saw that he was down. You don't want anyone going down, especially with someone like him.
Yeah, it looked like there was a gash on his head. Looks like that's just dirt, but Bryce Harper down. He's probably coming out of this game in the bottom of the fifth, up 6-0 for the Nationals. But that was he ran straight into that wall. So he might be out for a little while here. We'll have to see what happens. But almost Aaron Rowand-esque running into that wall, trying to make the catch, turns into a triple. Ooh, he is bleeding out of his neck somewhere. Yeah, he's coming out of the game. So we'll have to get you an update on Harper. We'll have an update on our blog, 3u3d.mlblogs.com, about Bryce Harper's situation, but a nasty spill into the right field fence at Dodger Stadium, running full speed, basically, didn't even see the wall coming, and runs into the scoreboard in right field. He's looking up, boom, crash. That's pretty much my play-by-play of it as I see the replay
crash
one last time. Gonna go back now to three up, three down fantasy, the three down portion. Next player on the list started off really, really hot, still has 10 homers on the year, but that batting average is dwindling by the minute, owned in 72% of leagues. KP, who is your three-down player for this week?
Yes, yes, it's none other than the Mets' John Buck. Yeah, he started really hot. I actually picked him up when he was still hot and climbing, but now I certainly see him in my utility slot going about 1-for-4 every two or three days, and about 0-for-4 the rest of the day. So I haven't benched him yet, but you guys should probably start thinking about it. He's got 2 home runs in the last 10 games, but only 7 hits and a batting average of a solid 179. So it's only going downhill, and I don't know how long you can ride on a cold-hitting catcher, but I don't know. He's clearly shown potential to go crazy, but maybe that was just a little spurt.
All right, and the last three-down player for this week, Jeremy, going back over to you, owned in 66% of leagues but sitting on the DL. He has not been good at all for his new team. Who should fantasy owners think about dropping?
Well, guys, I think it's finally time to cut ties with Josh Johnson. I've been one of those guys that wants to hang on and hang on and hang on and see if he can finally get healthy and get back to form, but doesn't seem to be happening. And I actually had a conversation with a friend of mine who's really into his fantasy league. He had the chance to either drop or trade Johnson. I think he ended up just outright dropping him because, you know, what are you going to get for him in a trade at this point? You know, nobody wants to take that risk. If they do, you're not getting anything in return anyway. So, you know, honestly, where Johnson's at now with his health issues just constantly cropping up, and even when he's healthy, he's getting rocked. He's a guy that, you know, if you really want to hang on to, just stash him on the DL and just pray that he's going to come back to form when he does get back. But for my money, you're just putting him on waivers at this point. It's unfortunate, but there's really, you know, can't get much worse than it is now.
All right, that'll do it for three up, three down fantasy for this week. Going to go to the last segment on this week's podcast. What are we excited to see this week? I'll start it off. Tuesday night, back in the Bronx, CC Sabathia versus King Felix Hernandez. I wish I could go to the game, but I really like that matchup. I think we're going to have a great pitcher's duel there. The Yankees lineup, not that strong. Maybe Curtis Granderson does return for that game, but should be an exciting matchup there. at Yankee Stadium, CC Sabathia versus the King, Felix Hernandez, who he's always been great, but he actually leads the league in wins. He has 5 wins. The Mariners are actually giving him some run support, so he's not winning Cy Youngs with barely 500 records for once. So that'll be a great boost to his Cy Young campaign. Going to go over to KP. What are you excited to see this week?
Oh, crap. I didn't have anything picked out. But what am I excited to see this week? I'm always excited to see the Brewers play, but I don't really have anything. Maybe you can come back to me.
Okay. Well, we'll go over to Brian then. Brian, what are you excited to see this week?
Well, as awesome as that game sounds between CC and Felix, most important, most exciting thing I'm most excited to see is going to be Sunday to see if I can eat the Beltre Buster all at one sitting and not have to bring some of it home.
Uh-oh.
Or if I don't have a heart attack by Monday. I'd be pretty excited about that after I finish it.
I'm sure you can get the full exploits of Brian attempting to eat the Beltre Buster. Last year he successfully ate the boomstick over at Rangers Ballpark in Arlington. So we'll have that on the blog, 3u3d.mlblogs.com. What are you excited for?
Well, Mitch, we always do our little head-to-head challenges on the blog, you know, the jersey draft or, I don't know, what else have we done? A bunch of stuff. We did the WBC fantasy draft and all that fun stuff. Well, we're finally meeting our teams in real life this weekend. I'm surprised you didn't pick this. Dodgers are going for 3 at Turner Field this coming weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm not sure if Greinke will be back, but that'll add even a little more spice to it. I'm stoked to play one of the, well, I guess we're playing a lot of good teams right now because, you know, we got the Nationals right now, the Braves, Brewers, Cardinals, Angels, got quite a slate ahead of us. But either way, you know, whenever there's 3U3D bragging rights on the line, I'm always going to get a little excited. And maybe we'll have a blog about that too. At the very least, we'll have some arguing on next week's podcast. I can guarantee you that.
You know why I didn't pick it? I'm not worried about your team. Your team isn't good.
Hey, you're not allowed to start talking like that until Friday.
I'm going to beat you.
I picked something now, Mapes.
Oh, okay. Well,
no,
then
you're not.
You should start beating the Nationals.
We're going to hit infield flies all day.
Start beating Bryce Harper. Okay, KP! KP! Oh, I can't believe you went there. An idiot.
I can't tell whatever happened there. But I got really choppy, so sorry for those of you listening. I'm probably not going to edit all that out. But I'm going to pick on Thursday, it says Darvish is supposed to face Verlander. So I believe that that will be the best of the week.
No, that is going to be a really good game. I'm excited for that one. That'll be fun. I wish maybe we'll have Brian and Angela talk some smack to each other on next week's podcast, too. That'd be a really good game. Is that in Texas or in Detroit?
Texas.
Brian, you should go to that.
I think Brian dropped out.
Okay, well, I'll tell him later that he should go
Brian,
to that.
Brian, you should go to that.
Definitely. I'll text him or something. I told him, remember when I told him, I texted him, I said, you should try and go to that Verlander game in Houston, and Verlander almost had a no-hitter. He had it through 7, so...
I watched
I
Verlander
right on that one.
I went to Verlander on Saturday and he got lit up.
Yeah, so now he's due for a good game again. There you go. That's going to do it for 3 Up, 3 Down this week. Make sure you read the blog, 3u3d.mlblogs.com. If you loved what you just listened to, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes. If you want to like us on Facebook, it's 3 Up, 3 Down, all words, no numbers. And follow us on Twitter at 3U3D. The easiest, fastest way, as soon as we post the blog, it tweets itself out, so you can just click the link that way. For Jeremy Dorn, Brian Boynton, Kurt Peter, I am merely Brian Mapes. I'm sorry we ran out of time. We'll get to Eddie Mata the next time.